Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. This morning I want us to listen very intentionally and very intently to the words of Jesus. He speaks these words to his 12 disciples, but they speak to us still in light of the stand up for my cause culture in which we live right now. I mean, just think about it. We move from crisis to crisis. It seems that conflict continues to escalate in our culture, and maybe it's time that we do things differently. Maybe it's time that we actually start to live our lives the way Jesus invited us to live our lives. And Jesus said this in Mark 10. Listen to these words. He said, "You know those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over other people. And those in high positions, they treat others like they themselves were tyrants. But not so with you. Instead, whoever is great among you must be least, and whoever is first among you must be servant of all." And then Jesus says these words in Mark 10:45, easily the most important words in the Gospel of Mark, and what I believe to be the summation of Jesus' entire ministry. He says these words, "For even the Son of Man," Jesus is referring to himself, "for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So the context of Jesus saying these words, he's with his 12 disciples, and two of them, James and John, had just stepped forward, and they said, "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, we want to be at your right and left. We want to be your vice president and your vice president. We want to help you lead. If the world would just do what we say, if the world would just listen to us, if everyone would think the way we do, the world would be so much of a better place." Don't we still feel that way today? So what Jesus does in these words, when he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many," what Jesus did there is he exposed his disciples' shallowness. I don't know if you were, when you were a kid, if you ever did this, but did you ever run up a descending escalator? Escalator is set to go down, and maybe you're racing a friend, and you try to run up the descending escalator. What you discover is it's fun at first, but really it's just exhausting. It wears you out. You see very few adults trying to run up a descending escalator, but how many of us, that's the way we spend our lives? We keep trying to run up and get ahead and maybe be the most powerful, the most prestigious, be the most popular. We run up, but it's exhausting. And the moment we stop, everything we've gained goes away so quickly. We slide right back down. Jesus exposes the disciples' shallowness, but then he exposes them to greatness. "For whoever wants to be great among you must become a servant." Now think about the way that we use the word great. We use the word great to measure size, you know, the great legs. We use the word great to denote longevity, the Great Depression. We use the word great to denote power, Alexander the Great and Herod the Great. We use great to communicate athletic prowess, what Gretzky is known as the Great One. Jesus, not only does he expose his disciples' shallowness, that it's not about getting away, getting your way and getting ahead. He exposes them to true greatness. And Jesus says true greatness is found in service. Whoever wants to be first must be last. Whoever wants to be greatest must be servant of all. So this year as our church, we're being very intentional about what kind of culture we want to have as First Baptist Tulsa. I think the pandemic has created an opportunity to reset things just a bit and to get real with God. And even one pastor said that the pandemic is the demise of cultural Christianity, and that's a positive thing because Christianity was never meant to be cultural. It was meant to be convictional. So we're asking some hard questions this year. We started our year with saying, what in God's name are we doing here as we gather to worship? Are we just here to attend church, or are we here to do the one thing for which we were designed? Worship God, to please Him, to encourage others. We've been talking about community. We need other people in our lives. Absolutely, we need other people in our lives. But it's not just camaraderie that we come for, it's community. We study Scripture together. We care for one another. We care for a hurting world together. So the question we're going to look at the next few weeks is in light of service. And the only question I'm going to be asking is, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? If Jesus modeled the servant lifestyle, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many, what are we waiting for? If Jesus not only modeled the servant lifestyle, if He commanded the servant lifestyle to His disciples, what are we waiting for? And so what I'm going to suggest to us is that we need to change our church culture and to change our individual hearts to say, maybe the best way to live our lives is not to stand up. Now again, we are to have convictions. I think it's good to have solid convictions. But the way we communicate those convictions is just as important. So instead of making a stand, instead of trying to stand up, we should stoop down and serve. So all I want to do in our few minutes today is I want to look at that one line of Jesus, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. And I want to detail some of the characteristics that really do point out how Jesus died so that we can understand how to live. And here's the first one. Maybe I should just stop explaining it and let you experience it. So Jesus, in His service, He was deliberate and voluntary. Jesus, in His sacrifice for us, was deliberate and voluntary. Maybe another word for that is premeditated. When Jesus came to this planet, He knew exactly what He wanted to accomplish and exactly what He wanted to do for us. It was premeditated. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The very first thing that John noted about Jesus was sacrifice. When Peter had that light bulb moment where it came on, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God," the very next thing Jesus said was, "The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners." Jesus premeditated His sacrifice. Jesus even said on the eve of His sacrifice, "There is no greater love for this than a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus premeditated His sacrifice, and so we too need to premeditate our service. To be deliberate and intentional and voluntary about saying, "I will give my life away. I don't want to take, I want to give." Maybe you've been keeping up in the news the social unrest, the civil unrest that's happening in Myanmar right now. And there's a wonderful picture now. It's about 3 weeks old or a month old. Myanmar is primarily a Buddhist country, majority Buddhist, but a strong Catholic presence there as well. And as soldiers began to face off against protesters, there's one nun, Sister Anne Rose. She came out and she stood between the protesters and the military. She knelt down, she held up her hands, and she asked the soldiers, "Shoot me instead of them." Do you see the power of that? And you can Google this picture. It's very easy to find. There are several versions of it, but that the one picture with her just holding her hands up and she says, "Take me." That's deliberate, that's intentional, that's premeditated. Should we not live in the same way in our culture? Especially as we deal with conflict and cultural wars, to find a way to step out of it, to not take sides. And instead of standing up, we stoop down and we find a significant, meaningful way to serve, to be premeditated in our service. So let me give an example of how I've already tried to do that in this last year. Last fall, public schools were wrestling with, do we go back to class or not? And just to see social media lighting up with, you know, teachers and parents and students, and nobody was happy about anything. And there began to be this growing conflict between those who said the kids need to be back in school, and those who don't, and parents, many of which were caught in between. So what did we try to do as a church? I want you to see this now in retrospect. There was a purpose to this. We did teacher care boxes. I asked our congregation to say, we're not going to fix this issue. Many of us, most of us, don't have the power to be in decision-making over this, but what we can do is we can step outside the fray and say, there are teachers who are going to have a tough time this year. So let's do something simple. Let's do something significant. Let's put together a care box. Let's hand deliver it to the teachers, and let's let those teachers know, this year I am praying for you in particular. Every month I've sent a reminder to our people, drop a note of encouragement if you haven't in a few weeks, and let that teacher know that you are praying for. It's stepping outside of the conflict. Instead of standing up, it's stooping down. It's serving. What are we waiting for? In fact, I believe that right now cultural conflict creates an incredible opportunity for us to serve like never before. It means that we choose not to argue. Instead, we choose how to serve. Premeditated. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for as a ransom for many. Another characteristic of Jesus' sacrifice, how he died, tells us how we should live. Costly. Jesus made a costly sacrifice on our behalf. And I think many times we experience gospel fatigue. We've heard the story so many times, we really forget the radical nature of what Jesus did on our behalf. So James and Mary Calvert were Methodist missionaries in the 1830s, and they volunteered to go to what was called the Cannibal Islands. Today, they're called Fiji. Long before it was a tourist destination, it was a place to be avoided because the people there were known to be cannibals, and in fact, the ship that delivered them to their port, they begged them not to go because the Cannibal Islands, they had a particular taste for missionary meat. They went anyway. First thing that James and Mary did was bury 80 corpses that had been the remains of a cannibal feast. And then that breakthrough moment happened. In one particular tribe, it was standard operating procedure that when a king died, all the women in his household were put to death, and a king was on his deathbed. And so James, Calvert, and Mary, they offered to sacrifice their fingers, cut off our fingers to spare the life of the women in your household. And that king was so moved by their willingness to sacrifice, he spared the life of the women in his household, and he accepted Christ. And when James and Mary left 17 years later from Fiji, there were 1,300 churches and 30,000 Christians. But it all happened because of sacrifice. Now, it could easily have gone the other way. They could have easily been cannibalized themselves. And when the sailors were begging them, please don't go to those islands, you could be killed, James and Mary simply said this, we have already died to ourselves. That kind of sacrifice, what is that? That's an echo of the way that Jesus himself sacrificed. It's costly. So in the 20 years that I've been here as pastor, I don't think I've done anything that has garnished as much attention, positive and negative, as our Tulsa Race Massacre prayer room. It goes back a year. I was reading and researching about the Tulsa Race Massacre and discovered our church opened up a room for the wounded that were fleeing from the Greenwood District. And I was thinking about the most apolitical thing that we could do. What is something that puts politics aside and serves a purpose? I thought it would be wise for us to open another room for healing, and this would be a prayer room for people to come and just pray. What I've discovered in the process is just because your decision is apolitical doesn't mean that others won't interpret it as being political. I've learned my lesson well. But a good friend at the beginning of all this said, Darren, before we do this, you need to count the cost. My friend was very wise and very right. And I tried my best to count the cost. And what I've discovered and what a serving life begins to discover is there are times that you do things that have nothing to do with approval. It has to do with obedience. It's not how people measure right and wrong. Do you do it because it's just right before your conscience and before God? If we are to be followers of Jesus, there are going to be those costly moments that when we step out of the battle lines, when we try to serve, other people will wonder why we aren't standing up. Well, maybe it's because Jesus invites us not to stand up, but to stoop down and to serve people on both sides of the fray. If this is how Jesus died, maybe this is how we should live. What are we waiting for? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Another characteristic of Jesus' sacrifice, not only was Jesus' sacrifice premeditated, not only was it costly, Jesus' sacrifice was helpful, genuinely helpful. Listen, we could never do enough to earn our way into heaven. Even if you had 1,000 lifetimes and 1,000,000 years, you could never accomplish what it would take to win God's love back for the depth and the consequence of our sin. And that's why the gospel is called the good news. The gospel is the good news of what Jesus has done to restore our relationship with God. The good news of what Jesus has done to remove our sin and restore our relationship with God. It's all about what he has done. And he has genuinely helped humanity. I wonder how many of you remember when you were a kid. I remember this very clearly. If ever I had a cut on my hand, my mom would go to the medicine cabinet and pull out that brown bottle, the hydrogen peroxide, and she would take it and pour it on the wound. And I remember the pain of it bubbling, but also I was transfixed by these little bubbles. And so when my kids were little, I kept a bottle of hydrogen peroxide. Come to find out that hydrogen peroxide is actually one of the worst things that you can do for a wound. It kills healthy tissue, it slows restoration, and it does not kill germs, regardless of what the bubbles tell you. It's just better to use a little salve or a little antibacterial cream on that. It's not helpful. The open wound that's between us and God, Jesus did something that was genuinely helpful to remove sin, to restore our relationship with God. So a way that we've tried to model this recently, and I hope you see some threads coming together with the teacher care boxes, with the Tulsa Race Massacre prayer room, with our Lenten challenge. I invited you during the 40 days of Lent to keep $40 in your pocket. And when you saw somebody who had need, you would just give that money away. Now, the best way to help is not always money, but sometimes it is. But more than just giving the money, it was an opportunity to try to be genuinely helpful. And so every week I was getting these stories coming in, and one of my favorites was from a friend in Texas. Used to be a member here a long time ago, has since gone to Texas, and she still watches on the internet, and the family does, and so she put $40 in her purse, and standing in line at McDonald's one day, there was a couple of students standing in front of her, and they had ordered a meal together, and they were bringing together their pocket change, and they discovered they didn't have enough money that moment. She reached into her purse, pulled out the $40, she paid for their tab. Then these students, who happened to be a part of a local youth group, they turned around, thanked her, and said, "How can we pray for you today?" And they prayed over her. Do you see that they got what they needed? She got what she needed. They were genuinely helpful to one another. What would our world look like if we said, I'm not looking to take a stand. It's not about me standing up. It's about me stooping down. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What can I do to be helpful? What are we waiting for? You see, you're going to die in one of two ways, and you get to choose. Something can take your life, and unfortunately, we've seen many people's lives be taken by COVID. So you can wait around for something to take your life, or instead, you can give your life. You can give your life away. And we've been all so protective about our lives this last year, but if we have tried so diligently to save our lives, what have we saved it for? Because something will ultimately take all of our lives. But it's a choice we have whether to give our lives. Which one looks more like Jesus? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see the premeditated here. You see the costly. You see the helpful. Here's the last one, and here's the most difficult one. Jesus, in giving his life, by many people would be unappreciated. Jesus gave his life for all who would ever come to him. He opened up salvation, the possibility for all, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him. But Jesus opened up himself, and that supreme sacrifice, he opened up himself to be unappreciated by some. He would never get a thank you. In fact, many people down through history have scorned Jesus by saying, "What is this pale Galilean done by being crucified on a cross? What good could that possibly do?" People have looked at salvation and say, salvation is too easy. You just need to say yes to Jesus, and how does that save you? Well, think about it. Perhaps salvation is so easy because for Jesus it was so costly. That salvation is so easy for us because Christ has done so much. And he even did much for those who would never appreciate him, never acknowledge him, never say thank you. So our most recent challenge of service is our cereal collection. We're collecting cereal during the month of May for our caring center. Ask you to pick up a sticker, put it on a box, put it on your front porch, put it on social media, and invite your community to be a part with you in serving our clients in downtown and trying to give food to our families and to children that come through our caring center. Listen, there might be some people in there that will be offended. Maybe you post something to your neighborhood Facebook page and somebody doesn't like churches being on there and you could be ridiculed for that. Maybe you raise a bunch of cereal and you bring it down to the church and no one ever says thank you. Well, are you doing it for the thank you? Are you doing it just not to be criticized? And here's a great thing. If you're doing what's right before God and you're trying to serve others and others criticize you, big deal. Let them criticize. You keep doing it anyway. Because we don't serve to be appreciated. And we don't stop serving if we are unappreciated. We simply try our best not to be accepted, but to be obedient to God. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What are we waiting for? The world doesn't need more people to stand up. The world needs more people who will stoop down and serve and look like Christ. And then what we discover, when we stoop down to serve and we offer compassion, then people are interested in the convictions from which that compassion flows. And maybe it opens the door for us to be very clear about where we stand with God in Jesus Christ. So a particular hospital in the Northeast, if you go there on one particular floor, you will meet Candace Walker. She works on this cancer treatment floor in this hospital. She calls her floor the House of Hope. It is her job to protect people's fragile immune systems while they're undergoing cancer treatments. Not only does she do her job well, but she also takes a personal interest in everyone who comes to her floor. When a loved one dies, she's the first one to bring coffee and bagels. She stepped off the elevator one day and there was a patient writhing in pain. No one else knew what to do. She took charge, got them emergency care. She tells funny stories to the kids and often wears different color socks to work so that kids will think that's funny and she can connect with them. Candace Walker is not a doctor. Candace Walker is not a nurse. Candace Walker is not a social worker. Candace Walker is the janitor on the floor of this hospital. And she's doing something that's far beyond her job description. She's just not mopping and wiping down areas. She is looking for every opportunity to serve. The part of the story I don't know. I don't know if Candace Walker is a Christian or not. But what I do know is more Christians should be like Candace Walker and look for opportunities to serve, premeditated, however costly it might be, to do something that is genuinely helpful and whether we're appreciated or not, to simply be obedient. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, what are you waiting for? Before you can serve Christ, you need to know Christ. And salvation is so easy because it cost God so much in sending his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we can experience salvation by simply saying yes, and then what we can experience is a lifetime of servanthood in his name that will make a difference in our hurting world. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What are you waiting for? Father, today I pray a prayer of blessing over every person who watches this very simple message, that we would live lives of service. Instead of trying to take the easy road to stand up, we stoop down. That no matter what it cost, that we will practice premeditated helpfulness, and that we will serve in your name to make a difference, whether others appreciate it or not. Help us to live the life that Jesus would live if he were in our place, and instead of standing up, to stoop down and serve. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may God grant you peace now and forever. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.